You know, most of us have heard that being in debt is a bad thing. There's nothing good about debt. I mean, even the experts suggest that you don't want to have any debt. You want to be out of debt, whether we're talking about Dave Ramsey or Susie Orman. It's the same. It's that the possibility is that that debt is bad. But my next guest, Tom Anderson, debunks that and says, in effect, that's a myth, that all debt is damaging. It is not. His new book, The Value of Debt in Retirement, is available to you. Why Everything You've Been Told is Wrong, and you can find it at your favorite bookstore. And Tom, you say, well, who is he to say what he's saying here? Well, let me tell you, Tom Anderson has an MBA from the University of Chicago and a BSBA from Washington University in St. Louis. He's worked in investment banking in New York, moving into private wealth management. He has received multiple national recognitions for his wealth management accomplishments, including being named four times to Barron's Magazine as one of America's top 1,200 advisors. Hey, the guy knows from whence he speaketh, folks, and that's why we have him on the show. Tom, nice to have you here on Home and Family Finance.
Hey, Paul, it's a real privilege to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. And I like the book, The Value of Debt, because it just kind of goes against so much of what we've all been told. What's going on here, Tom?
Look, I don't think that all debt is good by any way, shape, and form. I actually break that into different categories. There's what you call oppressive debt. And that's going to be debt that has a rate, you know, north of 10% on it. Credit card debt. You want to get rid of that and pay it off. But there's other types of debt that I call working debt and enriching debt that could actually potentially be good for people. All debt shouldn't be just grouped into the same category, and that's what I think is important to have a discussion about.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You've indicated that credit card debt, and I suspect also student loan debt, and maybe just crazy debt that from neighbors and friends, that's not good debt. But what are we talking about when we suggest that there is a kind of debt that can be instrumental? Explain that to us.
Sure. So first of all, any debt that has a rate north of 10 is going to be in that oppressive category. That'll really be things like payday loans, credit card debt. If you have credit card debt at 15% and you pay that off, well, you get a guaranteed return of 15%. Sometimes student loans have high rates associated with them, but sometimes they actually have low rates associated with them. If you think about on the other side of the spectrum, debt that has a rate of maybe 3, 4, 5%, that in some cases might be fully tax deductible, like in an example of a mortgage, mm-hmm. maybe that debt costs you 2, 3, or 4%. In those cases, I don't know that you want to rush in to pay that off, because I think you want to be thinking about the liquidity and flexibility that money in the bank can give you. Really, this is about thinking like companies and applying strategies that companies have used for a long period of time.
And let's break that down so my audience understands. If, in fact, you have debt, long-range debt, for instance, that cost you 2 or 3%, and yet the money that you would pay it off is in the bank or is in stock and it's making 10%, you're ahead of the game to some degree. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. And what I'd suggest, Paul, is the spread doesn't even need to be that wide. Let's say that you could be in a conservative, globally diversified portfolio. I'm terrified of where some assets are trading in the world today that might be expensive. But
yeah.
Let's say that you could have a rate of return of 5% and that your after-tax cost of debt was 2%. Well, I think that capturing that spread of 3 is powerful over time. But most importantly, you have the liquidity and the flexibility that money in the bank gives you.
And that is that's an important feeling, is that to especially if you're headed toward retirement, you can build on that money in the bank by making sure that that you take those dollars or take that finance, if you will, and make it work for you toward your retirement. Is that kind of where you were headed?
That's exactly right. This is not about taking on debt to buy stupid things that you can't afford. This is about being disciplined and rational and having that money in the bank growing for you. We've all heard the saying, it takes money to make money. And this is really embracing that approach. And if you think about it, you know, companies do this type of a strategy all the time. You've probably seen in the news Apple, right? They have billions of dollars of cash, but they also have billions of dollars of debt. Why is that? Because the CFO is an idiot? No, this is one of the most valuable, if not most valuable, company on planet Earth. And they left the liquidity and flexibility and tax benefits that debt gives them.
How, you know, I guess the next question, and you probably are the best person to answer that, Tom. When we look at America and we look at the average person working in it, how many of us understand this and how many of us take advantage of it the way the big businesses do?
You know, I think that, look, the top 1% of America has been doing the strategies that I'm talking about for a long time. 50% of America is kind of on the other end where they're in this liquidity trap and just can't seem to break through and get ahead. And I don't think that that's fair. And I think that all of America can benefit from these ideas, but you have to just kind of start yourself on a gradual glide path. It's time that all of America starts using strategies that the 1% have been using for a long period of time. I've been working with them forever and want to give these ideas to everybody else.
My guest is Tom Anderson. Folks, you know, Tom is at the level here of understanding our system so much better than most of us do. We just don't understand our system. And we're not being taught to understand the system. When I come back, I'm going to ask him what he thinks we need to do in order to make sure that we correct what you have doing with your children and so that your children's children understand the system and maximize it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry. And my guest is Tom Anderson. He has written a book, The Value of Debt in Retirement, and he says debt is such a huge piece of the economy and our lives, but we don't study or talk about it. Folks, we just don't understand it. And is it fair for me to lay the blame for this at the foot of our educational system, Tom? Why don't we understand how to work the system that we live under?
You know, I think the reason comes into this. I spent my life studying finance. I went to a Wall Street camp when I was 16. I went to Washington University and studied finance, MBA from the University of Chicago. I studied at the London School of Economics. My CIMA is from Wharton. Very few people go through that type of a process. Paul, how many classes do you think I had on personal debt and debt structure through all of that education?
I bet it wasn't very many, was it? I just don't believe it is. We just don't do that.
It was zero classes on that. It's amazing. I don't understand how in our society we're not spending more time. Look, whatever room you're in right now, you can fill with books and articles written on optimal corporate capital structures. Nobel Prizes have been awarded on this topic, and all that we're doing is taking that framework and applying it to the individual.
But we don't. That's what I don't get this. I don't understand why in school, for instance, Tom, we play educational roulette, because we're not sure what our kids are going to grow up to be. But the one thing we know each one of them is going to be, and that's a consumer, and yet we don't require them to learn how to balance their checkbook. What's going on here? I don't get this.
I love your term educational roulette, and I don't get it either. I mean, there's just it's such an important piece of the fabric that, you know, what happens is if we're going to say, hey, the system is not going to teach us, then we have to do one of two things. We can either reduce the world to absolutes and simple things like all debt is bad. But I very rarely find that blanket statements can capture the complexities of nuanced issues in our life. And so I think instead we need to try to study it a little bit. And so I try to make a complex subject as approachable as possible with some common sense logic.
Well, and that's the beauty of the book. Again, the book is called The Value of Debt in Retirement, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more, about why it's so valuable to for you to understand and work toward the retirement with some debt involved. But especially among baby boomers who are entering retirement in record numbers, as you point out, 44% of them have concerns about their level of debt, according to a 2014 report by the Employee Benefit Research Committee. And so they should, because they don't understand how to make it work for themselves, do they?
That's exactly right. And many of them are just in a rush to pay it off as fast as they can. And in some cases, that might be a good idea. But in many cases, to your other point, Paul, people are massively undersaved for retirement. And if you need a high rate of return from your portfolio in retirement, then rushing in to pay off your debt that's at a low level might not make sense. And that's what we basically mathematically prove in the book.
Well, obviously, I could come to you and say, with your background and you teach this, but how many counselors are actually teaching what your book is stressing?
You know, I think that the industry wealth management 1.0 was, buy GE and sell IBM, and people picked individual stocks. And then I think people said, you know what, we need to be broader than that. And they moved into mutual fund selection, and then they moved into ETFs, and then asset allocation funds. And so the industry has been evolving, but all of that's been focused on the asset side of the balance sheet. I think what you're going to see is that wealth management 2.0 and the future of financial advice and the financial advisory business will be thinking and acting like a personal CFO, giving people advice about both sides of the balance sheet, because you need to look at your life in an integrated and holistic way. And that's, I hope the industry moves there fast.
Well said, in terms of getting people up to speed on what they need to know, and especially when it comes to debt. All debt is not bad, and most of us think it is. It's just how we've been raised to believe. Get rid of your debt, don't owe anybody anything, and then move from there. Well, maybe you can do that, but you can also help your retirement portfolio if, in fact, you're using money wisely and not rushing to pay off everything, because you're actually able to have money in the bank and maybe even making more in terms of interest than you're paying in interest. And that's a really good way to look at it. Let me ask you about the market here. With your background, I mean, we're at 17,000. Are you concerned about where the market is today, Tom, or not?
Paul, I'm terrified about it. And my greatest fear is people are going to read my book and go up and lever their portfolio and invest in things like the S&P 500 right now. Look, a very simple math trick. If the S&P, you know, goes from 2,000, or you can kind of look at the Dow and say that it goes, let's say, from here to 25,000, or the S&P goes to 3,000, that would make this be one of the greatest bull markets in the history of all time. Only second to the, you know, one in the 1990s that ended in TechRec, or the 29 period that ended in the Great Depression. If markets go up 50% from these levels and then go through an average bear market, if I go from 2,000 to 3,000, a 30% correction would put me right back at 2,000. I think stocks could be flat to negative for the next 5 years, and people need to be very cautious with their asset allocation strategy in this environment.
Do you think that maybe the Reserve understands that, and that's why they are holding interest rates so low, because they're concerned about a correction that could, as you point out, or from bullish to bear, all of a sudden put a lot of us to sleep?
You know what? We are living right now in an economic experiment. None of us have ever been through something like this before. And so if someone tells you that they know the future, then it's my opinion that they're either lying to you or lying to themselves, because I don't think that we can predict what's going to happen here.
My guess is, go ahead.
We could have a lot of choppiness, and it's my opinion that if you're anticipating choppiness, you want to make sure that you've got liquidity and flexibility, and that's what's very, very important.
Absolutely, that you protect yourself against. It's all right to speculate, but you don't speculate with your retirement dollars, at least to the degree that you are so exposed, folks, that if something happens, you are hurt. My guest is Tom Anderson. He has his MBA from the University of Chicago and a BSBA from Washington University. He has much experience. He's talking to you in just simple language that you can understand, that some debt is okay. Figure that out. We'll be right back with more. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about the value of debt in retirement with the author, Tom Anderson, who is more than qualified to suggest to you how you might move forward. Tom, the book, The Value of Debt in Retirement, where can I find your book?
Oh, it's available everywhere online. You can check out valueofdebtandretirement.com, and that'll link you right to different places. But all the traditional vendors, the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, it's available at all those locations.
The value of debt in retirement, folks, and you don't have to be a financial wizard to understand and read this book. So if you're looking for the book that kind of gives you common sense, practical information in a way that you can understand it, pick up Tom's book. Tom, part of my audience, a large part of our audience, we're proud to say, are the military. And they move toward retirement with a little bit a different wrinkle because they move around. So what's your best advice to them in terms of how much debt they should be living with or not?
So, you know, the greatest and most important thing, I think, for military personnel is to make sure that they have, number one, cash in the checking account that's at least equal to 3 months of income. You need to have oil in the engine to make sure that you can handle a lot of those moves that come up and so forth. The other thing that I think is really important is sometimes people rush in to pay down their house. And so, you know, my cousin's been in the Air Force for 20 years. He's moved a gazillion different times, sometimes on base and many times off base.
Yeah.
If he takes money and puts it down on his house and then has to move, a lot of times he doesn't have that liquidity and flexibility. I'd argue that by having that money in the bank and having a low-cost mortgage, you're in a better position to facilitate a lot of those moves that people have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the issues that come up for the military is, do I keep my house in Utah even though I'm going to Maine? Leave it there in place and lease it, or do I sell out, buy out, and move? I guess it's on an individual basis, isn't it?
It is a bit, but I do provide a bit of framework around that because I have kind of a section on rent versus buy for retirement, and then I also have kind of this investment real estate part. You know, what a lot of people forget about with that is the cost of maintenance and property taxes. And if you've ever thought it's tough to kind of keep up with one house and the refrigerator and so forth, when you have something break halfway across the country, that's a lot of work to take care of. And so when you look at the overall return and sometimes, again, the lack of flexibility, I think that you're kind of reaching for certain assumptions. I know it's been successful for some people, but some of those trade-offs, I'm a pretty big fan of renting, and I talk about that actually quite a bit within the book.
Yeah. Okay, folks. Again, the book is called The Value of Debt in Retirement, and for baby boomers and those after, which is all of us, and some of us may be in front of it, but the point being is that it works the same for all of us. You just have to find your place and where you are. What about taxes? Let's talk about taxes right now. Golly.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing about taxes is that, you know, when Mitt Romney was running, we really learned two things. You know, the top 1% isn't paying very much in income taxes. And it turns out that, you know, Mitt Romney said that 47% of America isn't paying federal income tax. And that was controversial, but it was true. They are paying Social Security and they're paying Medicare taxes,
right,
but they're not paying federal income tax. So what about kind of everybody else that's in the middle? Are they supposed to cover all the taxes? I actually show strategies that apply fabulously to military personnel on people with examples of net worths of $1 million or lower that have pensions, and even in some cases of higher, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, or $5 million, that all pay no taxes in retirement by using a thoughtful and holistic strategy. Some of the ideas are complicated, but it's based on the same strategies that basically the top 1% and the bottom 50% have been using for a long time, and I think they apply to everyone in the middle with the right strategy.
Wow. Folks, it's called The Value of Debt in Retirement. It may very well be the book that you're looking for to kind of give you the kind of guidance that you want in a way and in a speak that that is easy to understand. I hope that's the case. And as you heard Tom talk to us, figure out, Tom, what debt you can and should have in your portfolio, right?
Absolutely. And the biggest thing I'd say is, you know, if you don't have enough money to pay off all of your house, then I would encourage you to consider, do you really want to pay off any of that house? Because if that rate is at 3%, 4%, or 5%, I really think that the liquidity and flexibility, especially for military service personnel that go through a lot of different moves, that having money in the bank
is the way.
Gives you so much flexibility.
I got to go, Tom. Thank you so much. Tom Anderson, my guest. We hope that you'll get his book and that you'll join us again next week. We'll be right here. Hope you'll join us then. Until then, have a great week and happy Easter.